be multiplied unto you, and if it was multiplied back there, and we know it could well be, or Paul would not have prayed it, how much more in this hour has it been multiplied to us? And we thank you, Lord, that grace does come by truth, and truth comes by grace, that they're twins, they cannot be separated. And this morning, Lord, we have the truth and we have the grace with it, Father, within our hearts, so that surely we can approach you and you will hear us, and we then, having been heard, have the petitions we desired of you. And that is, Lord, we have one petition above every petition, and that is, since we are believers, we believing we're truly born again, we pray that we may learn to have the word in ascendancy in our lives, and nothing else above it but that word, counting all in all, until word piled upon word, we come up to the stature of a perfect man, because the life has been released in us. To this end, Lord, we have our hearts cry and our hearts desire, and you know our hearts even better than we do. And if that is not there, Lord, we pray you'll take anything out of the way so it might be there, that we might call upon thee, the living God, and come forth in the true image one day. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. You may be seated. Now we're number 26, and hopefully can finishing this first book, this message on spoken word as original seed. Now, last night we emphasized the doctrine of God's species as set forth by Brother Branham based on Genesis 1:26, wherein God declared his intention to proliferate by generations or through generations his own species, which are sons, which are his own seed. Now, I had that been understood by some people here, there would not have been any trouble concerning Godhead. Godhead is the greatest problem today because Brother Branham said the major revelation of the end time under the thunders and under the seals, put it where you want, that there is one God and you must be baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, and that is thus saith the Lord. So if you for one minute think that this subject of Godhead will not be the bugaboo, the great stumbling block, and you don't even know how to follow a vindicated prophet's message. Because if that is the great doctrine, you better believe that's what's going to be misunderstood. Because no matter how large or how great anything from God and God himself is presented, it becomes a stumbling block. So, all right, remember this. Last night, we emphasized the doctrine of God's species, or God and his family, God and his children, as set forth by Brother Branham based on Genesis 1:26, wherein God declared his intentions to proliferate by generations his own species, his own sons, his own seed. For he said, let us make man in our image and after our likeness. And in Genesis 2:7, God breathed into Adam, who was now in physical form, his own Holy Spirit, so that man became a living soul and thereby the physical propagator of God's seed. He breathed into him the breath of lives. Plural. Seeds, Holy Ghost seeds, coming down through natural generation. As Brother Branham said, there is a natural election. And Jesus Christ himself was in the natural election, as well as the foreknowledge and election and predestination spiritual. Now let it be known that Genesis 1:26 was the Father speaking to his Son. Speaking to his Son. Son of God, not God the Son. How is it that Brother Branham can challenge everybody on there is no such thing as God the Son, because sons are not eternal? And yet are you sitting here this morning as dense as some of those who left us? I challenge you. I've been challenged by them, and I'm challenging you. Has he, the pillar of fire, been so long with us and we still know nothing? There was a time when it was well said, we know not as we ought to know, but that day is past because it's face to face. And perfect has come. Let it be known. Page 14 to 19, the church order and conduct. That in Genesis 1:26, the Father was speaking to His Son, who was the expression of His substance, or the expression of the substance of God, and who, when He became flesh, God the Word expressed Himself perfectly in that one's flesh. This Son was the one and ultimate Son, in whom and by whom God expressed Himself perfectly, and thereby we saw and identified not only the true image of God, but God Himself. We saw God reflected in the Son, actually manifested. Now, you've heard me long enough over all of these years to know that I'm referring to what book of the Bible? You see, I put you on the spot and you go, blah. Hebrews, chapter 1. That man, Christ Jesus, was man in God's own image. How could it be otherwise when this is that royal seed, the only begotten, that original, that formed from the substance of God, because there was nothing there to be formed from? And God giving birth, as it were, even to Himself as God, because when that one form came forth, then He was God. Even Jesus, who was that Son, said, worship God. Thereby, when the Son came forth, God for the first time was really God. He was merely omnipotent spirit, omniscient, in His ability of wisdom and a love as to His nature. That man, Christ Jesus, was man in God's own image, or the true expression of God, and was the first of many to actually fulfill Genesis 1:26 with the bride to follow Him. Adam could not do it. He did not do it. The only one who did it, in the process of and will yet do, through God Himself, is that Son. And in these last days, God has promised to reveal Himself in human flesh again, and we saw it fulfilled in John 14 and 12. Now remember, William Branham testified to himself, but so did Jesus. And if a prophet is God to the people, and the people can only worship and serve God by means of a prophet, and that prophet is vindicated, then you have to believe Him. You cannot judge Him or you will die. But all the time you'll be saying, hallelujah, I'm wonderful because I stand back and I'm not fooled. Like the lady used to sit here all the time and I said, Brother Branham said it. She said, I don't care what Brother Branham said. I go to the Bible. Can I look somebody in the eye? Where do you sit this morning? Where is your vindication? That all the earth stands silent before God. They're not doing it. They're big mouth women that typify the church. Blah, 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 blah. You couldn't hide if you tried any more than I can hide if I tried. And I sat there dying for 3 solid minutes while he looked through me and through me and through me. And that was nothing but a man who had a portion of God for the hour. God revealed in human flesh, the prophet, the living word of God manifested. And the pillar of fire stood there. Oh, yeah, they made me a liar. It's all right. You do what you want. I'm ready, whether you are or not. And I'm not boasting. I'm merely admitting I'm before the white throne because I can't change it. Now, to bring this to a scriptural description so that you might understand, we have to look at this one who fulfills, and through him being the first fruit, which signifies many more to come. How many? Only God knows, and they're predestinated. We look at that one who was with him at the beginning, and he said, "Restore to me the glory that I had with you," and so on and so on. And we take the scripture that Brother Branham read time after time concerning Jesus and concerning himself. Because remember, Jesus was a prophet, the great prophet, the all prophet, the God prophet, the fullness of the word. And in John 5 and 19 and 20, then answered Jesus and said, "Verily, verily, absolutely, absolutely, I say unto you, the Son can do nothing of himself. And yet God by Christ Jesus created the world." So he's telling you, I did not of myself create the world, as I'm being given credit. The credit is given to my Father, who is God, who by me created all things. And you will notice that's exactly what Brother Branham taught. And he taught the ages therefrom. And every now and then I hear scientists, and they're all going back and back. That's what this... this 53-mile tunnel in Texas, Waxahachie, is going to be all right. It's going to be a collider. And they're going to get back to the radius of something, whether it's a quark or a snark, God only knows. And it doesn't have a measurement. It's so small. And then the scientist laughs, and he said, "God sneezed." One so the other, MC said, "God sneezed." But the scientist said, "We go back and let the philosophers discuss it." The true scientists are numbed. Why don't they just stop and think God made it all out of nothing? He just spoke it into existence, maintains it. All right, and the Son can do nothing of himself. See, he learned that from the beginning. Wouldn't it be nice if you and I had learned that from the beginning? But what he seeth the Father do, that's all he can do, what the Father does. For what things soever he doeth, these also doeth the Son likewise. Now that takes you right back to the beginning. For the Father loveth the Son. See, now there you are. Omnipotence, omniscience, and love. And showeth him all things that himself doeth. And he will show him greater works than these, that you may marvel. In other words, there's a promise there, not a threat. They'll even be greater than that. Notice in John 14 and 12. But we better start a little quicker than that. 7 to 12. "If you had known me, you should have known my Father also. And from henceforth you know him and have seen him." Now Jesus is making a little prophecy right there, because he knows Philip is going to butt in. So Philip butts in. He was supposed to. "Lord, show us the Father, and that will suffice us." And Jesus said unto him, "Have I been so long with you, and you have not known me, Philip? He that hath seen me hath seen the Father. And how sayest thou then, show us the Father? Believest thou not that I am in the Father, and the Father in me? And the words that I speak unto you, I speak not of myself, but the Father that dwelleth in me, he doeth the works. Now remember, this one is speaking, like Brother Branham said, a light began to form, and there wasn't an atom even constructed. There was nothing, nothing, nothing. There was nothingness except God dwelling in thick darkness. And a light began to form. That was the Son of God. What did it form from? Do you understand what I'm saying? Huh? Well, I don't know. Do you really understand? I've got a pen here, plastic. Plastic, this plastic likely came from crude oil. You understand? This metal came from the ground. This is metal also. Just what it came from, I don't know. It's likely pot metal of some description. You understand what I'm saying? Something was there so this could be formed. You cannot form anything unless something is there so you can form from it. You cannot have a birth unless there's a matrix of some description to thing to come forth from. Is that correct? Then how could a light form unless there was something to form from? Now, what was there to form from? Not crude oil. And not a cow to give birth to a calf. God. Now, is this too hard to understand? I want to know, are we so scientific here that we go, what? And I'm waiting for it to sink in. Because as Brother Branham said, it gets simpler and simpler, and it gets so simple, the smart brains bog down and die. It's too simple. I just read it to you. Now he was in the Father. This does not make him God the Son. This is the Son that was born or formed from him. He's the Son of God. So what was he in? He was in God. Now, is there a distinct separation so he's no longer in God? The answer is no. Then in who is in him? God is in him. You're looking at the puzzle of eternal life with beginnings in certain interjections as it's manifested for a certain purpose, which is to glorify God. And then it never ends, and but never had a beginning. That plastic made out of oil. Just how many years old is that pen actually, the plastic? Maybe 5 billion. Maybe a trillion. But the pen itself wasn't made in heaven like he made in Japan or Mexico. Maybe the last 5 years, maybe 1 year. Let's keep reading. Believest thou not that I am the Father in me? The words that I speak unto you, I speak not of myself, but the Father that dwelleth in me, he doeth the works. He does the talking, does the showing, does the working. Believe me that I am in the Father and the Father in me, or else believe me for the very work's sake. I'm telling you right here, hey, it's a mystery, you can't figure it. So I'll make it even simpler. I'll make it even simpler than the fact that I was formed coming out of God. I am the Son of God. I am the essentiality, the substance, thrown now into a human form, separate from God, yet distinctly that same life is in me. Yeah. I'll just bypass my little illustration. Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that believeth on me, the works that I do shall he do also, and greater works than these shall he do, because I go to my Father. A very special kind of believer. A believer that really understands this mystery and is a part of it is going to have a great ministry that eclipses and supersedes Jesus as to the numerical outcome. Is that possible? Well, if it isn't possible, throw your Bible in the gutter because you got a mistake. And this is not the inerrant word of Almighty God. Okay. Let's go to Matthew 12. We read it many times, but when Jesus knew it, he withdrew himself from thence, and great multitudes followed him, and he healed them all. And he charged them they should not make him known, that it might be fulfilled which is spoken by Isaiah the prophet, saying, Behold, my servant whom I have chosen, my beloved, in whom my soul is well pleased, I'll put my spirit upon him, and he shall show judgment to the Gentiles. Now, you know, this is a very, very funny thing. I've never looked at this before quite this way. But it says, when Jesus knew it, that is, they got mad at him for doing this mighty miracle, because it was against the Sanhedrin, the Council of Churches, and all the bigwigs, the smart boys with their seminary training, they said, well, we've got to get rid of this guy because he's got an evidence we don't have. And if we're talking and we don't have the evidence, and this guy is talking, he does have the evidence, the only way we can survive is to kill him. Because you bet your boots we're going to survive. He's got to go. Huh? Brother Branham said, if you put yourselves as one of those who said, I would not have been here with that Sanhedrin if I'd have been back there. He said, you're the very God that was with them back there, and you're right here doing the same thing. Okay. And he charged them that they should not make him known. Now, what's that got to do with the upper part there? He healed them, and then he said, now, don't make it known, that it might be fulfilled, which was spoken by Isaiah the prophet, saying, Behold, my servant. What's he talking about? He's talking about the fact that you don't try to convince anybody. Because when you convince anybody about this message, you have a loser on your hands. If they don't see it for themselves. Huh? No, I'm a driver. The minute I start preaching, I usually drive, drive, drive. I'm known as the man of the overkill. Hogwash. If I were to drive for 8 hours a day, many people would go away dumber than when they came concerning spiritual truth. They'd simply be more blinded. You cannot force this on anybody. Now listen, don't make it known, he said, but I want you to know this is Isaiah fulfilled, Behold my servant whom I have chosen. Now Jesus is making testimony of himself. And every prophet must make testimony of Jesus. And it must be one with the word. My beloved in whom my soul is well pleased, I'll put my spirit upon him, and he shall show judgment to the Gentiles. Now when is he going to do that? See, now that's the question. Now, you'll never drive this home to the world churches. You can't do it. They are ignorant of this because they are convinced that this was done by the Apostle Paul and done by the churches. It's in the form of the Holy Spirit, and it is not historical as to a pertinent date as of this date. No. But let's read it. He shall not strive, nor cry, neither shall any man hear his voice in the streets. That's not even the Apostle Paul. He had to preach in the streets. A bruised reed shall he not break, the smoking flax he will not quench, till he send forth judgment unto victory. And in his name shall the Gentiles trust. They say, there you are. This great thing that was done from Pentecost on is positively going to come forth at the end time. Now, just a minute. The Gentiles didn't have a bruised reed and a smoking flax. They had nothing. So this is not the inception. This is the end. when he sends for judgment unto victory, as in 2 Thessalonians 1, 7 to 10. And in his name shall the Gentiles trust, because he's not here in the flesh. It was consistently Jesus, this same Jesus, that manifested God in the flesh to Israel, has risen from the dead and is now doing the same thing in the form of the Holy Spirit, which simply means that same Jesus is risen. And he left the mercy seat and got on his Father's throne, and the Father is down here who always does the works anyway. In his infinite wisdom, is now bringing the Gentiles forth unto judgment and victory, because the judgment is past. The long, long night is past. Say, oh yes, the day has finally broken. The judgment is over, and we are scattered, not scattered, we're standing. And we shall stand with those who come forth out of the ground and meet with Brother Branham, the beloved prophet of the end time, and be caught up by the same Holy Spirit to lead us into the millennium. And there at the reincarnation we'll crown Jesus King of Kings and Lord of Lords. And he will be Father, Son, and Holy Ghost. Name it any way you want to name it. We are looking at it. This is identical to Ephesians, the first chapter, which we read hundreds and hundreds of times, and delineated upon it as I suppose no one in history has. If you want to prove that, prove I'm wrong, you get the books and find out what they say. And take 48 sermons of mine, plus many, many more, and see what I say. Go ahead, I challenge you. You say, Brother Vail, you're boasting. I'm not boasting, I'm just telling a historical fact. Go and get the books, prove me wrong. Make me a liar. I'll be happy to be made a liar, no problem. Say, well, you'll need to shut your mouth next time, won't you, kid? Hey, brother, you old goat. Wherefore I also, after heard of your faith in the Lord Jesus Christ, in other words, fulfilling this up to the baptism and including the baptism of the Holy Ghost, love unto all the saints, love the same word, love each other. Cease not to give thanks for you, making mention of my prayers. The God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father, glory, may give unto you the spirit of wisdom and revelation, the knowledge of him. The eyes of your understanding being lightened, you may know what his hope is calling, the riches, glory, and inheritance of the saints. And then on top of that, what happens after that? The resurrection. The rapture, the ascension, coming back to continuously take over right into the eternal New Jerusalem with the Lamb on the throne, pillar of fire above the throne. All right, let's go back to Eden, and then let's go back to Matthew 4 and another temptation. What Satan fed Eve, the byproduct, was not tolerated by Jesus in his temptation. He not only was a part of the Word and stood with the Word, but fortified himself with the Word and spoke it and eventually died for it. But because of that same Word, he, the expression of it, he could not remain in hell, nor did his body suffer corruption. See, he was the seed that should have been to fulfill Genesis. Son of God, with full control, and he filling the earth with his seed. And he does it too. That's why Brother Branham could say Eve had the opportunity and blew it. But you see, God's word has to be fulfilled. And he said, let us make man in our image, after the image of God, and his likeness made he him. Let him have dominion. It can't fail, because that's God's promise to himself. No son in any father's loins or daughter or anything else ever said, hey, I want to be born. And at a certain time. And in a certain way. And for a certain purpose. This now leaves us at the point where we can say, that is all very well about Jesus, the Son of God, but what about us and all other sons of God? wherein we are the expressions or the image of God. What about us? Well, let's talk about us. We've been talking about Him. Number one, we must be seed. We must be part of the species. Now remember, for years I've been preaching species right here. But the unbelievers, the disbelievers, whatever they are, make-believers, I don't know what they are, but they came against it. Number two, after one, we must be seen. Number two, we must receive the Holy Spirit baptism. Number three, we must stay within the truth of the Word and hold it forth. Number one, it doesn't do one bit of good to hear anything or see anything unless you're seen. Number two, you must be baptized with the Holy Ghost, and you do. You have that today, not by some feeling, some sensation, some demonstration, some manifestation, but piling word upon word, growing up into the stature. Such stature we're coming to now, which is under His headship, and headship is here. And the next thing, remember, the body follows the head, and the head came out of the grave. The next thing is resurrection, and the mystery that we shall not all die, but we'll be changed identical to those who did die and come back. We must be seed. We must receive the Holy Spirit, which is what? Our identification, our hope, our sealing, our promise of the resurrection. Number three, while we live, we must stay with the truth of the Word and hold it forth. Now, where are you standing this morning? Now, I believe Dale is not infallible. I believe before God this Bible opened before me. And knowing there is a God in heaven, and that's just literally the same as swearing by the Word and swearing by God, but I get away with it because this is what the prophet did and said the way you do it. Now, do you want to stand beside me? Under this thing? To the best of my knowledge, I will not tell you a deliberate lie or any kind of a lie. And if I find I've been wrong in my teaching, by the grace of God, I can come back and teach you. But remember, for months, for years, I have taught God's species. I did not recall it was in here before God, but there's a faithful God who said, I'll bring all things to your remembrance. Now, if my mind is charged by the Word of God, what about yours? Education can be your downfall. We showed you scripture after scripture last night. We must stay with the truth of the Word and hold it forth. Number four, we must believe in the life in the Word and apply our active faith based on our passive faith as we desire to garner those promises that can be attained through that active faith, knowing they're there. We can set our hearts and mind on them, and we can receive many material things of God. Many. You can't receive the spiritual unless you're seed. You can even receive gifts if you're not seed. But the revelation comes only to the seed. The true revelation can only come to true seed. Number one seed, which is the wise, in contradistinction to the foolish virgin. Number four, we must believe in the life in the Word and apply our active faith based on passive faith. In other words, my faith merging with the Word of God that says these are yours, such as healing and these other things in there. And provision, all of those things are in there, and they are contingent to your faith and your belief in those things which God sets forth about the promises that you want to garner. And the biggest one of all is, as a man sows, so shall he reap. What are you sowing toward this morning? And what you sow toward, you must be diligent. You must not take your hand off the plow, because God has no delight in the man who takes his hand off the plow. You've got to stand there plowing your furrow and planting your seed until the time comes that God begins to water and bring that forth which you are sowing from His Word. How many of you got the spiritual guts to stand there and see it done? I've seen you start and I've seen you stop. Now, you can't lay back on the preacher and say, well, preacher, do this and that. We're just as much seed as Jesus in our own little way. He was an ocean, we're a drop in the ocean. But analyze, it's the very same thing. The point of this message is definitely that what God intended to produce and has been and now is and will ultimately produce as a conclusion of His purpose is that His original spoken word be fulfilled, as we saw sonship completely fulfilled in Christ, whose image and form we are soon to attain to, and our own glorification, which in turn is what we were foreknown and predestinated to. Now remember, we are growing into the stature. He was the perfect man. He was the complete fulfilled word. He had an advantage that you and I did not have. He knew who He was. He remembered who He was. That's where He put it all. We vicariously, by His faith, His perfect faith, we'll attain to it too within our own order. No matter what the organizational seed or Pentecostal seed believes and propagates, there is only one seed that will come forth in the image for which it was spoken, and that is the original spoken word of God. And if they are not in there, now watch carefully how Brother Branham used this. So we go back to Genesis 1, 26, and God said, let us make man in our image, after our likeness. So God started creatorially in His own image, in the image of God, created He him. Then He took another step of creation. Notice it, because it is another one as I understand this. Male and female now enter the picture, but not previously.
For propagation. That's why they're sons. I'm not here to argue with those people that want to believe different. They can do what they want, but this is what God said, and this is what God gets.
Man has an idea that God is depending on him, man, when only the reverse is true. The tree bears the fruit. The fruit does not bear the tree. But the life of the tree is in the fruit and identifies it. How can anybody say he is seed and go against the vindicated word? Jesus challenged them. When did his challenge ring hollow? When did he take it back?
I want to know. I want to know from this congregation.
As for the present, we who are seed of God and know so by identification through recognition. Have only to learn to get our minds out of the way. Imbibe the word. Spiritual food in due season, and let the life of the word dominate us to the end that it manifests in and through the flesh in Christian living. To attempt to duplicate the ministry of Christ or even any prophet of God is the ultimate folly of any believer of any kind, such as Muhammad and the Muslims. They can have a white horse at his sepulcher waiting for the old boy to come back. He ain't coming back.
except for the second resurrection and eternal destruction. You say, Brother Bailey, you're a judge. You bet your sweet life I'm a judge. Because I have the judging word in my behalf. And I am judging by precedence, which has been established by God. You may want to line up with your stupid American judges. That's your business. To attempt to duplicate the ministry of Christ or any prophet of God is the ultimate folly of any believer of any kind. To believe the word exactly as God has revealed it or interpreted it by bringing it to pass, not only to acknowledge it mentally, but to receive it as life, the conduit of the Holy Spirit. The word that I speak unto you is life. Spirit, truth, life. But to receive it as life is the sole foundation of each individual and the entire church. To see what Christ did as he fulfilled the word is our example, that we also fulfilled that word according to our measure of faith and position in the body. And the next step is that we walk in love toward all those who believe the word. And so fulfill the law of Christ, doing only unto others as we would have others do unto us. Remember, God can condemn a man with ministries, as in Matthew 7, but there is no condemnation to those who are in Christ, who walk according to the Spirit. And how do you know how the Spirit walks unless there's something told you about him? Which is the life of the Word. A good detailed study of the walk or life of a Christian is set forth by Paul. And I suppose there's 50 times where the word walk is used. We'll settle once and for all how the church as sons are to conduct themselves. And though gifts and callings, which are manifestations of the Spirit, are a part of this life, they are not the life. As is the Spirit in the Word, but they're only gifts. And gifts are judged according to the Word, whereas the Word vindicated can never be judged. We're reading quickly then from page 56. All right, every seed must come after its kind, or his kind, put it if you want. God made man in his image after his kind, that's Genesis 1:26, 2 and 7, to be his word on earth. What do you mean his word on earth? He spoke it. So he created, he formed, and breathed eternal life into it. So a part was created, a part was formed, and a part never was. It was taken from the same life treasure that light formed. And the sun came forth. And God through him began creating everything in all the ages. All right. He expressed it in Jesus Christ. What did he express? His species. What it really was. How? God was in Christ. That's a man after his kind, see? When God, which is the Word, how many knows he's the Word? When the Word was in Christ, a man, human man, expressing itself through him, that was God, the Word in Christ expressing himself. Sure, that was the one in the Messiah, after the line of David. And God in the beginning made man in his own image. And that's the kind of man that God makes today. It's got to still be in his image. It's got to be what God spoke. It's got to be the original. But remember now, you're dealing with God and his species, and remember he's God, he's Spirit, and he is eternal. So a part of you and me, if we are sons of God, must be eternal. The same if you are a certain species of zebra. or a rhinoceros. You had to come from the original zebra rhinoceros God put way back there in Africa, what is it, 6,000 years ago. It's just that simple. And you don't have to worry anymore what came first, the hen or the egg. What a stupid jackass question. No hen, no eggs.
Yay.
The seminary and the incubator hatchery turns out a bunch of hybrids. See the schools, but when God calls a man, he's in his own image. The Word made him alive. And what does the Bible say? Blessed is the man whom thou choosest and callest to approach unto thee. He causes whom to approach. The sheep hear my voice. Well, then the goat doesn't hear it. And a chicken doesn't hear it. And the guinea fowl doesn't hear it. And the pig doesn't hear it. Nobody but sheep hears it. And when the eagle screams, nobody but the eagle understands the scream.
And comes to the feast. And God calls a man. He can't call anybody outside of his own image. The life of the Word quickens him. That's right. There he is. That's God's man. Man in his own image, in his very likeness. And Jesus said that he'll do the works that I do. Now, Brother Branham is going from the ordinary man to the full stature of a man in this hour, predicted in John 14 and 12 and in Matthew 12, 15 to 21. So God made man in his own image after his kind. His kind. What's his kind? The Word.
So Brother Branham goes to the individual, individuals in a body, to that which is above it. It's got to be by the Word. Then people try to tell me there's no fivefold ministry left. When did God take that up? Well, that's as bad as the Baptist Methodist. A whole bunch of say, well, who says there's going to be prophets? Who said there isn't going to be? Well, the Baptist. I don't care two bits for the Baptist.
Why should I go to hell with them? You're in witchcraft. The
hell was made for the devil and his angels. Why did Brother Branham say Methodist, Baptist, witchcraft?
Well, if you want to call witchcraft, W-H-I-C-H, you're not the craft of God, I can tell you. They're the craft of something else. The word craft means to me. His kind. What's his kind? The Word. So go back to the beginning. What was it he said? Let us make man in our image, after our likeness. They're the ones. They're going to have dominion. And remember, Jesus, because he blew it, became the first fruit. But it was the first fruit from the dead. Not the first fruit from the beginning. That one had to come down, take a human form, God indwell him, die upon Calvary, raise from the dead. And remember, there's two beginnings. He said, this day have I started my generations in thee. And remember, he's the first begotten from the dead. There are different applications for the word begotten. You were begotten in your time from the life source that God put in human beings, his own life source, when you were born. When you were in your father. But you were dead in your trespasses and sins. And when you listened to the call of the Word, you believed the Holy Ghost came upon you and you rose from the dead. Now united with God, you begin to form. Christ begins to form in you by the Word. And the church begins to form up. And everything the church lost is being restored to that. Brother Brown spoke on the bride tree. Maybe we ought to go into the bride tree next if we ever get through this. His kind. What's his kind? The Word. Absolutely. Can't you see that? Spoken Word. He is the Word. Then if a man denies God's Word. Now remember, you're talking about species. God, Word, one. Logos, Rhema, one. Now, if you came from him, you are identical in your own measure. Now, how big is a sperm compared to
the size of a 6'4" man that weighs about 240 pounds. You can't even see unless you've got a microscope. So we're not trying to compare as though we're anything to God. We're just trying to say we're a part of God. And we're a part of the Word. And the church is made of Word, which is God. And the whole thing depends on your revelation. If you're correct, then you know you're baptized with the Holy Ghost and you're going on. See, so then how can you deny the vindicated word of this hour? Now listen, the word went off tangent in the first age. A wrong Jesus, a wrong word, a wrong spirit. That's completely off. By the time it gets here, everybody's off. There's got to be a restoration. You cannot deny it. So now he's speaking in terms of the reality of the restoration. Because remember, no matter what this man is preaching, you cannot ever get away from the fact that Brother Branham constantly reiterated 80% of his time with every message, as far as I'm concerned, about God vindicated, the prophet vindicated. This is the one and only word. There isn't another one. And if you lose track of that as you hear the sermons or read them, you're going to mess up like Hogan's goat. You're going to be so wrong, it's pitiful. Just say, God, forgive me. I'm going to leave the whole thing. Evidently, I wasn't a part in the first place. I'm not saying that if you're discouraged or to discourage you. I'm telling you, if you can't take this, well, Brother Branham said, if you can't, not satisfied with your pastor, that would be teacher, anybody else, get yourself another one. Well, that's great. Then if a man denies God's word, how can he be in God's image? He can't be, because the image was spoken. As to what it would be identical. You follow me? And if it isn't in the original, you're not a part of it. And the only reason you can know is not even by your fruit like the kind old priest, but it's coming to this word and identifying because of demonstration, which is vindication. If you catch anything about a prophet, you'll come to the prophet and say, prophet, tell me, and then sit down and listen. And you know, everybody's got a guru. Isn't it strange? Everywhere you go, they got a guru. There's a guru here and a guru there. Everybody, for the Eastern baloney, sliced Western style. They don't know that the light has come all the way to the West. And it's going back to the East. So they don't want to come to God. Just go to the guru. What do they got to offer? Ha! And you know the funny thing is, they'll put you through the ropes in every tight place, and you'll still be a nut for them. That's why Brother Branham said, I'd sooner be a nut for Jesus. If it weren't for the nuts, the bolts will all fly apart. Just ask the question. Ask yourself, how can you be in God's image and deny God's word when the word is the expressed image of God himself? See, there you are. And then we say we're in the image of God. We say we're children of God. Come on. Now, let's go further. Yes, in his own image. This is where we left off last night. Of his kind. To be his expressed word on earth. Now notice, not in heaven now, but the expressed word on earth. Jesus was the expressed word in heaven. He was that one. The captain of our salvation. But now he gets expressed on earth. Now we did not have the expression in heaven. We were merely there. We have no, well, whatever we were, we have no memory of it. Put it that way. We'll go into that sometime. I have some thoughts on it. But it's on earth. Now Jesus was God's expressed word. Do you believe that? Then what are we to be? Not to be Jesus Christ. To have his ministry. To go through what he went through. Like all that hogwash they're getting from Fatima and you know, Mariolatry, you know. The Marianas. Everything Mary. Oh, Mary says suffer. Oh, Mary says this. Mary says fooey. That's the devil. Phil, brother.
Well, forget it. Now, Jesus was God's express word. Do you believe that? Then what are we to be? Sons of God, too, with the express word in the church. Carrying on. That's a mystical body of Christ. Carrying on the same work that Jesus did when he was here on earth. And we found out what the work of God was to believe on him whom he sent. The greatest battle ever fought is the greatest work any man ever has done, to bring his mind under control to the word. And say, forget the creeds, forget the dogmas. That's why when people come in here with no background at all, there's nothing to them, for them, to see one God and the Son and see the truth. Everybody else boggles around, because you had too much crud. You know what? When you get calluses on your feet, you don't cut your feet off. Well, that's the quickest way to get rid of the calluses. You pare them off little by little. And the deeper the calluses, the harder it is to pare them off little by little. Better you didn't have any calluses. In other words, I'm saying better you didn't have anything in your brains concerning God than having all this trait that some people have. Yeah. That's where I got my certain pick for certain religions, namely Roman Catholic. All they know is that they don't know, and leave it to the priest. And when they get converted, man, they just swim right through this, where the ignorant Protestants that think they're so smart, and they're nothing but dead fish with belly up. Yeah, floating down the stream. The river Styx, it runs to Hades. There's no waters for them to cross over on. All they got's broken cisterns. And what's left is full of wiggletails. Brother Branham said so. Now listen. Now you can. Now you can have the Lutheran kind after the Lutherans, the Methodist kind after the Methodists, and the Catholic kind after the Catholics, and the Pentecostal kind after this kind. In other words, ecumenical and Pentecostal. That's the two seeds at the end time sown with the real seed. Now notice. The oneness after its kind, and the Trinity after its kind, but if you're God's kind, not Methodist, Baptist, Lutheran, Pentecostal, or Trinity, or oneness. Okay, now the Jesus-only preachers that won't believe the truth. To talk about the condescension of God that phoned me and talked for an hour and a half. They haven't got it. They're in false doctrine. What are they? Are they not? Of course, you're too nice. All you want is just nice, 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 nice. That's why some people left you. Just nice, nice, nice. Really doesn't matter. Whoopee, whoopee. If you haven't learned by now, I am not nice. I'm not the kind old priest. I will not do you any harm. Just keep out of my hair and mind your business. I'm minding mine. Why shouldn't you mind yours? Yeah. I don't see anything wrong with my stand. If you do, well, that's fine by you. You go ahead. But I'm not going to change for a minute. If the word of the teacher wasn't cutting, what have you got? Just ring around the rosy, pocket full of posy. And all fall down, down dead, too. Don't worry. Instead of the black plague, it's the AIDS. Yeah. Oh. He said Pentecostal after its kind, oneness after its kind, Trinity after its kind. But if you're God's kind, that's different. We are different. We stand in between oneness and Trinity. We don't have two gods either. You know, the Bible said if you deny the Son, you deny the Father. Huh? What if a woman had a baby boy? How did she get him? To a girlfriend? No. To the boy's father. You got a baby boy, can you deny the father? Now, if this man has a baby boy, can you deny him being a father? So if God has a son, then he's a father, right? Then how can you deny God having a son if he is a father? And if he has a son, vice versa. How can you deny if there's a son? See what I'm talking about? He that denies the son denies the father. He denies the father, denies the son. So then why even bother, if you're Jesus only here, why do you even bother, you people out there, to even talk about blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ? Because you're saying what Brother Branham did not say and warned you not to say, that Jesus is his own father. And I agree with Dave Pollard that over 80% of this message, so-called, are Jesus only, don't even know it. They talk about the condescending God. Can't even understand how part of you is eternal, never ever thrown into a human carrier. Well, it's not my job to teach them. So you are the expressed image of the Word making itself manifest. Whether you want to believe that or not, whether you live it or not, doesn't have one thing to do with the original statement. You either are or you aren't. Now, how do you know? Believing the Word for the hour. The Word for the hour came through seven church ages. Number one age was perfection. Number seven is perfection, because Alpha is always Omega. We must return, as Brother Branham said, to Ephesus. Ephesians, the first chapter, we have hit it. See, you are the expressed image of the Word making itself manifest. Through the designated procedure, conduits, carriers, human beings that God planned and is a part of as to his life, we have come down from the full spiritual to the physical, and in one day, someday soon, the physical will be completely commensurate to the spiritual, or God would have done something about it and put it right here in the book of Revelation. Because Genesis is seed chapter and Revelation is harvest chapter. All right. See, you're the expressed image of the Word, it making itself manifest. Oh my, it's got to. If the water falls on it, it's got to do it. There isn't any alternative, because God spoken and his Word stands fast. His Word is in heaven and his Word is on earth, and it's manifesting on earth. And the proven manifestation there is backing up everything this man said. And is saying or will say, then give him a birth, a type, after God made man in his own image. I just don't think I got time for the next expression. It's a dandy. I don't want to, but all the words of God are dandy. But look here, where I was supposed to be at dinner time, I'm just about that far away, about 1/6. Oh, well. See, how about coming back this afternoon? Raise your hands. Good. Want to keep you too long? Want to wear you out? Cut off in a minute, but it's a few minutes he does it. Now, our last thought here was that God made man in his own image after his kind. God made a man after his kind. You get it? A man after his kind. Well, what kind of a man was he? If you look back and see what he was when he was made flesh, that's the kind of man he makes. Is that right? A man after his own kind. Amen. That's right, isn't it? That's his kind of man. Now, you're looking at two things there, because the man was made flesh back in Adam's day, but he was made for a purpose in order he would fall and allow God all of his attributes to come forth, which was the healer and savior and the provider and all of those wonderful things in there. Eight complete titles of Jehovah. And the last one is sanctifier. Everybody misses out, but Brother Branham put him in the millennium for the sanctification. Oh, yes, sir. Never forget. That's number eight. Goes right to millennium. All right. You remember how I taught that. All right. That's the kind he makes. All right. He said, another time, He said, you're a man after my own heart, a man after his own heart. That was David. Remember that? The Spirit of God in David. The Spirit of God in David. See? All right. Never would have come. He hadn't been in the beginning a seed. David a rejected king. Yeah, aha. A king rejected. A seed rejected. Always the anointed is rejected David. Always the anointed is rejected David, the rejected king. And Brother Branham is referring to himself as well as Jesus. Went up the hill with his own people. I'll preach this for the next 3 minutes. When David's own people should be, his own kind dethroned him, his own son, and run him off the throne. David went down there. Even one of them came out spitting on him, that anointed king. This old guy came along, crippled up in his doctrine. He was crippled, you know, that funny old bird. And he went along spitting on the king. Watch Christ spitting on him. That messenger by his side, an angel representing him, pulled a sword. Should the head of that dog stay on the man that spit on my king? The angel said, that's a messenger. See, the angel said, I'll strike him dead. And David said, put up your sword. I have to do this. Went to the top of the hill of Jerusalem, looked down, the rejected king, and he wept. 800 years from there, the son of David, the spirit that was in David in a portion, see, just in a portion, stood on the same hill, the rejected king being spit on, made fun of. Is that right? Now remember, he's given the spirit without measure. David only had a measure. Jesus without a measure. Is that right? I can imagine God, that angel was walking along there with Jesus when he went up to Calvary, and the angel said, shall the head of that dog stay on him? And Jesus said, let him alone. There's coming a time. We'll take care of that, of course. But what about David when he came back? The story changed. David came riding in triumph. This fellow runs screaming for mercy. Sure, let him alone. One day he'll come in power, Revelation 19. Then the laugh will be the other way. That's right. Just leave him alone. Then God will laugh them to derision. In derision, he sitteth in the heavens. But God said, David, a man after my own heart. Now listen, this is very crucial. When God creates a man, he's of his kind. See, now that's right. Let's make man in our image. It's got to be fulfilled, because that's God in his own progeny. Now man can marry and withhold children from his wife. Or she with him. But do you think for 1 minute when God made his own word here that he's going to withhold any of his own children? Every single one is going to come. See? And only a certain number. And David said, thy word have I hid in my heart that I might not sin against you. Only thing he needed was the rain. Now watch. David would have been all right if he would have just had that rain, but the Holy Ghost wasn't yet given. Now, Brother Branham said, the closest thing to the baptism with the Holy Ghost is a prophet like David or the prophets of old. But notice, he never had the baptism. He had the Word, and the Word was in him, and he could know it. And he said, I've hid it in my heart, Lord. It won't bloom out and act like it should, but I've hid it in there, Lord. I've hidden it. See, that's why he committed adultery and did what he did. But when Jesus came, which was the Word made manifest, took the germ of life out of it and brings it back to the Word now. And if David's cup ran over, then what about ours? What ought ours to do without the Spirit? See, David had it great without the Spirit. Amen. Isn't that wonderful what he did back there? But what about today? What about today under Matthew 12? When we're coming right to the very presence. And remember, this time they crucified themselves, the Son of God afresh. And Brother Branham sings the chorus, isn't it wonderful? Isn't he? How many love him? How many love him? Oh, he's wonderful. Now, it's rough, friends. It's very rough. I don't mean to be that myself. Yeah, I hope you understand that, see? But today I'm giving the expression of why I have done the things that I have done. Now, just for a little analysis before we dismiss for lunch, I want you to know that I have, that this has been my motive and my objective. Now, you can't separate motive and objective. You just can't do it. Because the motive is right there. There's something spurring you on to something. Motivation in itself is merely the impulse or that which is tending to cause you to move. Motorize you. Get you moving. Now, you're getting moving to some certain end. So now Brother Branham then is stirred up to bring the Word. This has been my objective. This has been my motive, and my objective is God's Word. So what stirs him up is God to bring this Word. My motive is to please him. Now he has a motive to please him. Now how's he going to please him? He's going to be the one that brings the Word. Get out of the way. And I can't listen to everything and believe God's Word. Neither can I listen to everything and please God. My motive is to know his Word and to please God by serving him by his Word. Now we're getting somewhere. This man's like Abel. True worship, true devotion, true service. See? Not that I have anything against. Now, okay, every person here that's born the Spirit of God, that's in the elect group, was perhaps once a Methodist, Baptist, Christian, Pentecost, something, or somewhere else. Now, you know that. You know that. So then when you see when you say, go out to them, that's what you have to do. There's somebody in there, if you'll sow the seed, there'll be a harvest someday. It will fall. Somebody will come back and say, ah, he's nothing but a deceiver. Now, Brother Branham's talking about himself, but also giving us a chance to witness to people. But this is for Brother Branham. Because, you know, talking about us being deceivers, they'd say, well, that guy's deceived. He's a jerk. He's an idiot. But when you're talking about Brother Branham, what they're doing, they're classifying him as a false prophet who has signs and wonders to deceive the people, when there's no such thing as that in the Bible. When you got, thus saith the Lord, you're a true prophet. You see? Now, he's a deceiver. Didn't they say the same thing about our Lord? Well, there's nothing to that. Well, then why don't you check it with me? He's nothing but a deceiver. Then just check it with the Word. See, if it isn't the Word, then it's deceiving. See, if it's not the Word. Now, if your theology is different than the Word, then that theology is not right. All right, now look. It says, check it with me. Now, what good would it be if they're not seen? No good. Well, what if they are seen? Give it the Word test, see? Check it with me. That gives Brother Branham a chance to prove personally by way of his ministry and his insight. Now, others will go by and say, well, you know what, I believe I'll try it for a while. That's not live, die, sink, or swim. He'll choke. He'll choke. That's right. But when you really empty out and say, Lord Jesus, no more of me, but you from this on. Now, what's he talking about? Revealed Word. Not talking about gifts and getting out of the way to just be some fantastic kind of a witness. It's what are you witnessing for? Well, look at this guy named Jordan out there at the West Coast. He turned everybody upside down, Baptist minister, independent, I guess, and he jumped in cars hitchhiking. Well, those days you could pick up hitchhikers. And he won so many people, he just turned the world upside down, literally out there, winning souls for God, so to speak. But pretty soon he gets a woman pregnant. Not his way. So much for that. Hypocrite. Where's your Joneses and all this tripe going on? What about the man that went to Brother Branham because he had too many women? Ask his wife what's happened since then. He's still messing around. Someone he might commit suicide over what you're doing. I've seen it happen. Some people better commit suicide than stumble somebody too, and that's also the Bible. You know, we're in deep water today. The point is, where do we stand? Do we have an anchor? Do we really have a tie post? Do we really have an ultimate? Do we really have a foundation? Do we really know? Sure we do. And that's the thing you identify with. See? Someone say, well, I'll try it for a while. Lord Jesus, you got to say, empty me out. From now on, it's you. Then it's going to bring forth a hundredfold. Notice what he said right there? If you come to the place, live, die, sink, swim, and you're fully dedicated, you are a hundredfold Christian. And what would that be? That would mean that we receive the end of the promise of God here in flesh, which is immortality, right to the tree of life. Because the whole thing's fulfilled, the last mystery. We shall not all sleep. We'll all be changed. That's what's going to happen, see? Now, then it's going to bring forth humble. You believe that? I believe it too. But with liberty and justice for all. That's right. Yes, sir. I pledge my allegiance to my Lord, see, to preach his word and to stand on his truth. If it costs my life, I'll just go on the same. What's Brother Branham saying there? He said, my politics, if you want to know what my politics are, it's the word. As he said, I made my choice. I voted. One time, that was it. I voted for God, and I never had to vote again. For I would. It'd be a great thing for me not wanting to, but if I had to do it, we'll mingle my blood in this earth like those that mingle their blood for the same thing, like those that died in the pits of the lion, like those that died in the crosses, those sawn asunder, and so on and so on. It'd be a great privilege for me as a disciple of Christ to return back, and it be counted all joy because they were able to stand the reproach that was brought upon his name. Now I'm going to ask you another question. How is there reproach upon Jesus' name in your life and mine except through the Word? You can be the most ardent, glamorous Catholic or Protestant in this world and just talk about Jesus all the day long. But you go to that Word and you're a dead duck. Once you hit Mariolatry and those things, you're a dead duck. Hit the church, you're a dead duck. But talk about Jesus. Hallelujah, I'm the Vicar of Christ. They could suffer for him their little suffering. I want to suffer. I don't want to suffer. Nobody wants to suffer. I'd like to join my hands with all denominations, say, brethren, let's go. Brother Branham was weary and hurt because they turned him down. I saw him cry about it. I'd like to do that. If I do, I take my hand out of his. That's what he told me. He said, Lee, I could have all that too, but he said, then the ministry's gone. Far be it from me forever doing that. If I stand alone, I stand with him in his word. As Eddie Pruitt said, on Christ the solid rock I stand. Brother Branham stood with Ephesians 1, didn't he? 17 to 21 with Matthew 12, 15 to 21. Eddie Pruitt said, as Christ the solid rock I stand, all of the ground is sinking sand. Christ is the word in the beginning. What was it? Every word brings forth. Every seed brings forth of its kind. Then what does the seed of God do? Oh, far be it from God to have a seed. Far be it. That's just creation. Oh, yeah, and then we got a free choice. Oh, yeah, yeah. Come on, come on, come on, come on. Get rid of your thinking. I knew a man couldn't take predestination. He turned to Mr. Lorry. Mr. Lorry could call fire down and snap, crap, popple around your feet. And then a little cloud. You could follow the cloud. The funny thing was, when they followed the cloud, almost got the Canadian border, the cloud disappeared, so they came back. Yankees couldn't become Canadians. Ho, ho, ho. Yeah. Oh, come on. Come on. Listen, I'm talking about the things that I know, brother, sister. I got witnesses. Bring them right to you. You see? Now he said, every seed after his kind. Denomination seed to bring forth his kind. Pentecostal bring forth his kind. Baptist his kind. See? We're going to show this afternoon, God willing, how they started, what caused it, where the Bible said they would be, how they'd end up, exactly what'll the end be. Now he said, the sermon's going out to little radios in the cars, little tiny shortwave. God bless you all in the cars. Many of you that's in the cars that couldn't come in, that's listening through the mic, this broadcast, God bless you, that's standing around the walls and sit here this morning. I trust by the grace of God I haven't brought any offense, but I'm making myself clear. Well, Brother Branham, I got news for you, as though you didn't know. It's 10 to 1 you offended a whole bunch of them, but I love it. I learned a little late to love it. Well, you're falling this morning now. Original seed. You see where it all comes? People get so stumbled because they look at themselves. Why didn't you look at the Word of God for a change? Because listen, by tomorrow morning, or within 30 minutes, no, I'm going to give you 1 hour. And 1 hour from now, every single person ought to be changed. Your stomach's no longer growling. In fact, you're bloating up from having eaten too much. You're angry because you ate too many pastries. And I drank that coffee again. You'll be changing in a few minutes. Huh? And can't you believe in the Word of God that's going to change you from mortal and propensity to sin to immortal and a life that knows no end except better? And better and better. Today, whereby our bodies are getting weaker, our bodies are bending toward the ground. Very shortly, we'll all be bending toward heaven. We better, because we're looking that way, because our hope is coming from there. He's doing the work down here. But we're waiting to crown him. And you know that's going to be the greatest joy in our lives, to really crown somebody that's worth it. We've looked at ourselves for so long and know in a sense of the word we really don't worth it. It's a good thing God by grace said you are, and we'll receive that. But to know just for a minute you can share in his glory, that's what I'm looking for, and I think that's worthwhile. Let's rise and be dismissed.
Gracious, kind, eternal Father, how wonderful to study this word that was brought vindicated by this great servant of yours, Brother William Branham. Not really deceased, he just lay down his old overcoat waiting to get a new one. The inner man being continually renewed until it just couldn't stand this old dust and gravelly condition anymore and just had to go back to the theophany, take it up, and there being a form of eternal youth spirit, anxious to come down again to take up his predestination. We appreciate that. Lord, help us to be ready for the hour of Brother Branham's predestinated journey back, when he shall take up that youthful body, immortal, stand with us and amongst us, to point us to those further things that I know that he'll point us to concerning the glory and beauty of those things of the kingdom, even as Jesus. I believe, Lord, that there's good reason and measure to believe that, but there, he'll be here, friendly, loving, joyful. Then the rest come up, and together we ascend to the presentation. In this perfect love, there isn't any fear. Help us to realize that, Lord. And as the prophet said, to simply abandon ourselves to it. Casting ourselves upon the waters flowing from the eastern gate that carry us over. Not even bothering to swim. Not even necessary to float. Carried over. Carried over above all the depressions and those things coming upon the earth. Those times so tragic, but we're not a part of it, because we're invited, not just invited, no, we're a part of the bride. She's not invited, she invites guests, coming to the great marriage supper of the Lamb. Because already we heard your voice of invitation to the marriage, and we believe in the solidity of the espousal vows, that at this hour, we are in you, you are in us, we're all in the Father, we're all one, even as Brother Branham said, that was it. And the union is by the Word. So grant, Lord, we pray, your peace which comes from understanding, peace like a river flowing from rivers of life, rivers of the Word, deep within the mind and deep within the soul, and coming forth into immortality. We pray you'll heal the sick amongst us. Lift up the hands that hang down. Help us to make straight paths for the feet of the people here, so there's no turning aside. Let not one person turn aside, Lord, for any reason. Running the race with patience, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of their faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despised the shame, will eventually sit with him, as he promised. These are the realities. And these are ours. God bless forever. May they be so imprinted upon us. And no one can tell where the word starts, we begin, or it ends, we end. But more so today in such a degree that the change will not have to be that disparate. Help us to come to that place, Lord. Because we love it for one reason, just to know that we have glorified you in some little measure and been true, Lord, to the truth as you are the truth, and been a son that can bring some measure of worthiness through believing and application, where suffering and dying is necessary, that Christ may live. Let it be that way within us. Now unto the King, eternal, immortal, invisible, the only wise God, be all power, honor, and glory through Jesus Christ. And may we share, Lord, somehow, to help it all along. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. Take the name of Jesus.